In Psalm 18, David says, I will love thee, Lord, O my Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my Masada. David said that, God, you are my Masada. God, you are my place that I go to when the enemy is attacking, and you are the place, Lord, where nobody can touch me. You have made me inaccessible, God. Lord, I love you because you are my Masada. You are my high mountain. You are my fortress.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of God is My Masada. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of God is My Masada.
As we come today, this week, we're dealing with overall this year a series on discipleship, and I know that I'm working on some discipleship messages, but I didn't know where I was going to go in between series on discipleship, and I was asking the Lord this week what he wanted me to share with the congregation. And as I was having my devotions, he put something in my mind and in my heart that he wanted me to do for a summer series. And so what I'm going to be doing for the summer series is spiritual lessons from biblical places. Spiritual lessons from biblical places. And as I meditated on this message today, and as I was just praying and asking the Lord to anoint the word this morning, he put in my spirit that this message is, and I believe that all messages are for the people of God, but I believe this message is for somebody that's getting ready to go through something. And it may be me, I don't know. The Lord just put that in my spirit. This is for somebody that's getting ready to go through something. And you're going to need this word to take you through. So I pray that if this is you, that you would pay special attention this morning as God prepares your heart for whatever it is that you have to go through. The title of my message today is God is My Masada. God is My Masada. And the title of the message will become clear to you as we go through the lesson today. But Masada was a place that was located on a fortified plateau near the Dead Sea. It was famous for being virtually inaccessible to the enemy. Masada was famous for a couple things. One thing that Masada was famous for, it was famous for Herod's palace. And this was a palace that had three levels. In this palace, there were swimming pools, there were storehouses for soldiers where they lived, there were living quarters for people, and Herod was so bad that he redirected the only water that was in the wilderness, he redirected it to the base of the plateau and had servants carry it up this mountain. Now, as you look at this here, this was Herod's palace. Now, if you'll go back to the first couple slides and put those up there again, just wanted to point out a couple things to you as we look at Masada. If you go all the way back to the first one. All right, as you look at this right here, you can see that Masada is elevated in a wilderness place. It's all desert around here, and there's this rock plateau that's out in the middle of nowhere. And as a matter of fact, this is Masada, and you can see the three levels of Herod's palace. This is the first level right here. That's the second level right there, and that's the third one. And these are archaeological digs and excavations that have uncovered what Masada actually looked like during the time of Herod. And so it was a biblical place where people often, and some people believe when it talks about David, and how he was in the wilderness and how he was fleeing from Saul. And it said that he went to a desert place, and he was in a place of a fortress and a place where there were rocks. Many people believe that David may have come to this place called Masada. So if you could go to the next one, we get a little clearer picture. The place named Masada, and again, we said that it was a place that was fortified. It was famous for being virtually inaccessible, the location of Herod's palace. And then one thing that history knows Masada for, it was a place that when the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem, there were these zealots who were Jewish rebels who rebelled against the Roman Empire, and Rome came to squash all the resistance. And so they destroyed the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD, and this group of zealots ran into the wilderness, and guess where they went to? They went to Masada. And they dwelt in Masada. And the Romans, for some period of time, didn't know where these Jewish zealots were at. But when they eventually found out where these zealots were, they came after them. And it was the hardest time they had getting to these zealots, because they were up in this place called Masada. And after some time, they eventually were able to penetrate the fortress of Masada. And when they got in there, they found that all these zealots had committed mass suicide, because they didn't want to give in to the Roman army. And so they committed mass suicide because they didn't want to die at the hands of the Romans. So that's this place called Masada. Now, I'm setting this up because I'm gonna go somewhere with this. Second, we see the word Masada. The Hebrew term that's used is Masuda. And actually, it's where the word Masada comes from. And this word Masada actually meant a high, inaccessible rock or mountain. Now, where does this become significant to us? All right, so we got this place called Masada, this rock plateau in the middle of the wilderness that was inaccessible, and that people that built their society up there, that it was almost virtually impossible to get to these individuals. How does that relate to Scripture? Well, turn to the Psalms with me this morning. Psalm 18. In Psalm 18, David says, "I will love thee, Lord, O my Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my Masada." David said that, God, you are my Masada. God, you are my place that I go to when the enemy is attacking, and you are the place, Lord, where nobody can touch me. You have made me inaccessible, God. Lord, I love you because you are my Masada. You are my high mountain. You are my fortress. And in another place, the psalmist says in Psalm 71 and verse 3, he talks about Masada again. Psalm 71. And here the writer says in verse 1, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me, because you are my strong habitation, whereunto I continually resort." We can stop right there. Lord, you are the place where I continually resort. Lord, when the cares of life overtake me, Lord, when the midst of the battle is all around me, Lord, you are the place that I continually resort. He says, "Thou hast given my commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my Masada." God, you are my Masada. You are that place that's inaccessible by the enemy. And then in Psalm 91, a familiar psalm to many of us. People quote this one all the time. Psalm 91, he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my Masada, my God, in him will I trust. The psalmist knew what it was like to have a Masada. And I want to ask you the question today. Do you have a Masada? I would like to be able to proclaim, like David said in Psalm 18, God is my Masada. Can you make that statement today, that God is your Masada? See, I believe that for some, there's coming a trial or there's coming an attack, and the only way that you're going to be able to escape it is to get to an inaccessible place. The only way that you're going to have deliverance is for you to be able to be placed upon this mountain plateau of God where the enemy can't get to you. Martin Luther, one of the great reformers of the church, he was a monk and professor in Germany in the 15th century. He was displeased by some of the practices that were going on in the Roman church, and so he nailed what is called his 95 theses to the door at the Wittenberg Cathedral. He had 95 complaints against the Roman church. And probably two of the biggest items that were on this 95 theses was the fact that Martin Luther said, we believe in the absolute authority of the Word of God. We don't believe that a man or a council or a creed should override the Word of God. And so he nailed that to the door of Wittenberg. And the other thing that Martin Luther, I think, made the greatest contribution in the Reformation is that when many were touting salvation by works and doing this, and salvation by ordinances, and by salvation by keeping this and keeping that, Martin Luther nailed to the door of Wittenberg, sola gratia, salvation is by grace alone. It's by the grace of God. And as a result of that, Martin Luther began to get all type of opposition. The bishops, the popes, the church began to attack him verbally and sometimes even physically. And as a result of all that, Martin Luther got excommunicated from the Catholic Church. And I'm not sure if it was in the midst of this that he wrote the song, "A Mighty Fortress, A Mighty Masada is Our God." But this song actually became the battle cry, because during the Reformation, there were many people who followed Martin Luther. And as a result of them following Martin Luther, many of them were martyred for what they believed. And the song that became the battle cry of the Reformation, the song that people sang as they were being delivered to martyrdom, was "A Mighty Masada, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And if God is your Masada, what I would like to do this morning is tell you what you have. Because you need to know, there may be a battle coming your way, and you need to know that God is your fortress. And if God is your fortress, then what do you have? It's believed that Martin Luther wrote this song as he read the, and Lydia read it this morning in our hearing during the prayer time, as he read the 46th Psalm. So I'm going to ask that you would turn to the 46th Psalm as we look at this whole idea that God is my fortress, God is my Masada. The first stanza of the song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," says, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. or helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing? For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. The first thing that we need to realize that we have a fortress against the foe. All of us have an enemy. And I'm here to announce to you today that your husband is not your enemy. Your wife is not your enemy. That your coworker is not your enemy. That you are fighting against an ancient foe, Martin Luther tells us. You are fighting against a foe who has been around from the beginning of time. And as we look at the next verse, we're going to see that his power is great and he's crafty. He was around when the first couple was here on earth, and how he was crafty enough to come in between the man and the wife, and he caused them to fall, and that fall brought sin on Adam, and that sin has been imputed to all of us. And so because of one man's sin, we all are made sinners. But what was it that caused him to sin? It was that ancient foe. And this ancient foe is still wreaking havoc today. You walk out here on the streets of our city and you see people that are cracked out. They have been overtaken by the ancient foe. You see all type of problems going on in society, in the family, and you wonder, why are these problems going on? They are going on because of the ancient foe. And Martin Luther says, look what he says in the last part of this song, of this verse. He says, his craft and power are great, and he's armed with cruel hate. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. In 1 Peter 5:8, we read these words. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That he, the devil, hates you. And you know, I don't know how it is. People say, well, I want to go to hell because all my friends are going to be there. Well, all your friends might be there, and you might be there, but the devil hates you. And he will spend eternity tormenting you, or he will have set up the eternity for you to be tormented in. And so we need to realize that the devil means you no good. Now some, Pastor Glaze, how can you talk about the devil? There's no such thing as a devil. We as intelligent people don't believe that there's a little man running around with a pitchfork and horns and a pointed tail. How can, you know, the only place that we see that type of thing is on the hot sauce bottle. You can't believe that. I'm going to tell you what. There's a devil. And he's real. And if we have duped ourselves into believing, like many have, that there is not one, then this ancient foe is still after you. And as Peter says here, he's like a roaring lion. And what is his objective? He's trying to devour you. I was sharing in the Life Quest class this morning that I was reading in preparation for the class this morning, and I was read this article about this minister who was a predator of young boys, and how that he had gone online and he was in this chat room with these young boys, and actually he was chatting with an undercover officer, and they set up this sting operation where this minister went to this, what he thought was a young boy, to have a relationship with him. And as soon as he got there, the police revealed themselves. And he was busted, and they asked him, you know, what did he do? And he didn't want to tell them. And he just kept denying, and then eventually, you know, they found out that the guy was a minister. And I said to myself, look at the devastation, and look at the havoc that was wreaked, that, number one, he could no longer stand and minister for God. And it says that he was married and had a family. And think of the humiliation that took place in and among his family. And then the third thing is that now he was gone and he was going to spend some serious time in jail. Still, our ancient foe seeks to do us woe. His craft and power are great and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. And some of you are messing with temptation. You're messing with fire. And I come to tell you today that if you continue on, then this ancient foe is going to take you down. And you need to straighten things out while there's still time. Because you see, God is our fortress. That when the enemy comes to attack you, God will put you in an inaccessible place where he can't get to you. If this minister would have used God as his mighty fortress, God would have put him in that inaccessible place where Satan could not touch him. But he opened himself up for satanic attack, and Satan attacked him and destroyed his ministry, destroyed his family, and destroyed his life. Still, our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. But look, the first two verses of the first two stanzas of this verse, Martin Luther says, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark. That word bulwark means a wall. Now, I don't know, with all this rain we've been having, a lot of walls been falling down. A bulwark, never failing. And then Martin Luther reaches back into this 46th Psalm, and it says that he is our helper amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Look back at that 46th Psalm again. In the 46th Psalm, and this is where Luther gets that from, he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Look at these floods that Luther's talking about. Though, and we have seen in recent days, flood waters just wipe out land and just carry land away. And that land, some of it has just been carried into the river, and some of it have been carried into the lakes, and some of it have been carried into the sea. And he says, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the waters shout and make noise, and you want to see how bad this water is, just a couple of weeks ago, stand alongside the mighty Mississippi as it was flooding, and you could see water that was roaring, and how it was troubling all the people that were along its banks, and the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Luther said that God is our helper amidst the flood, that all these mortal ills, all these problems, and you know, have you ever sat down and thought about how many different ways you could be attacked? How many different problems can be manifested in your life? You can have financial problems. You can have relationship problems. You can have family problems. You can have society problems. You can have physical problems. I was coming up Braddock Avenue and turned on Susquehanna Street, and there's a big, and somebody needs to report this, a big pothole that I hit and tore my car up. I can't even drive it now. Now I got car problems, right?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of God is My Masada. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, God is My Masada, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request God is My Masada. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request God is My Masada. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.